I appreciate the opportunity to be here to tell you a little bit about the work that is going on in Arizona. When I left Georgia 6.5 years ago, I had no idea what was facing me out there. I had been to Arizona. We had visited our son over the years that he had moved out there, but I really didn't know Arizona. The first work that I was involved in was Prescott Valley, which is part of Prescott, about 90 miles north of Phoenix. We live in Phoenix, in Levine, on the southwest side of Phoenix. But I travel all over the state. And I've been asked from time to time, doesn't that get boring? Not with the beauty of Arizona. As I travel north, I go into the mountains, and it is so beautiful to see the terrain there. Now, you may not think desert is beautiful, but you can go other directions and see I just have to say it's beautiful. We miss the green. but that's okay. I can handle that. But it's been a wonderful experience. Now, I'll see if I can figure out how to operate this. Okay. Great. I'm going to be telling you more about the work as we go through here. But one of the verses in the Bible that has always challenged me is where Paul said, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ." When you go into an area like Arizona, and I'm sure in many ways the people in Georgia are the same, but you're going into a worldly area. There are a few churches in Phoenix, and there are a few, and I'll have a map up here in just a moment to give you an idea of the relationship of what I'm talking about. But when I think about the number of people that are there that have never heard the gospel in its true sense, that bothered me. And I started to think, well, how can I do something? And I heard this expression several years ago, that when we pray, pray with God-sized prayers. Don't pray something that you think you can do, but pray something that you know that God can do. And so I started praying and asking God to help me, to guide me into areas and places where I could spread the gospel. From Prescott, there's go north is Flagstaff, and let me get over to, well, I'll come back to that. Let me go to the map here. When we look at Arizona, the map on the left is the state. The map on the right is Phoenix. Take the Phoenix map and go from the northwest corner diagonally down to the southeast corner. You're going to find three or four sound congregations in that diagonal strip. If you go to the northeast side of that diagonal, there's nothing. It's the city of Scottsdale. It's big. If you go to the other side of that diagonal, there's the city of Goodyear, Buckeye, and right now, those two areas are one of the fastest growing areas in Phoenix. So you're looking at several million people that are not in any position to even be near a sound congregation. And I have been trying to reach out to these people. Go back to the state map. Prescott, as I said, is just an hour or so north of Phoenix. And then further north from that, going up I-17, is Flagstaff. Many people look at Flagstaff as just a stopping off point to get to the Grand Canyon or to get to other areas in the scenic Northwest, Sedona, for instance. In 1980 or so, there was a congregation in Flagstaff of 100 plus members. Today, there is no congregation. It has dwindled and eventually closed its doors. There are 80,000 people in Flagstaff. There is a university there, the third largest in the state of Arizona, Northern Arizona University, with over 20,000 students. I have been given permission to go on campus, and in the free speech zone, I can talk to the students. I don't even have to go in and register and tell them that I'm there. I can just go in, set up a table if I want to, or just talk to students anytime. And this free speech zone is right near the cafeteria. So it's given me opportunity to meet and talk to students. I do door knocking in Flagstaff. The top picture here is the campus. The bottom picture is one of the street areas where I have done some door knocking. I've done some mass mailing. Now, if you're not familiar with what that is, that's where you can go to the post office and get a permit, and you can mail something out, bulk mailing, at 32 cents an envelope, and they allow you 3 ounces. So that's more than a normal postage would allow you, but it's cheaper. But then the post office came to me, and they said, well, you, if you have a nonprofit, can mail that same 3-ounce envelope out for 18 cents. I jumped at it. Now I have to do it a different way. But that allows me to reach out to areas like Flagstaff and other areas of the state where I may not be all the time, but I can get zip code addresses, and I can mail directly to these addresses. That's a blessing to me. Somebody says, well, is it very productive? No, it's not productive. If you think about something that you're looking at 20% or 30% or whatever. But right now, in Flagstaff, I have a study going with a Native American, a Navajo, that as a result of that mass mailing. I have other contacts throughout the state that have come through that. I don't know where this will go, but these are contacts that I otherwise would not have. Williams, Arizona is 30 miles west of Flagstaff. Hendrick Joubert and his wife moved there a couple years ago. He was preaching in North Carolina. He's South African. And we got together and we talked about how we could work together in this area. He's trying to start a work in Williams. Flagstaff is 30 miles away. There may be some way that we can connect or help each other in these areas. If you go east, about 50 miles or so, you come to Winslow. There used to be a Sound Church in Winslow. Today there is a good-sized institutional congregation, but I've been able to make contact with the preacher there, and we have gotten to know each other, and we're going to get together and do some talking about some of the differences that we have. I don't know where that will lead either, but it's an opportunity that I hope to have to be able to reach out to this congregation and perhaps do some teaching. Maricopa is a small congregation on the south side of Phoenix, about 40 miles south. It's known because of John Wayne. John Wayne used to own a lot of property in this area, and there's a street today that's named after him. But other than that, there's a good many people, probably 50 to 60,000 people in this area. I am working with this congregation today every other Sunday. They're roughly about 15 to 20 there each Sunday. And many of them are getting up in age. So it's something that I can do to help this congregation. And I'll tell you, it's in the report that I sent. This congregation has gotten on fire. One of the men has decided he wants to do a podcast. That podcast is something that he wants to do to reach out to people. Another gentleman there is about 76 years old, I believe. And when he found out I was doing the mass mailing and so forth, he said, well, we're going to take care of this area. Well, I didn't know exactly what he meant by that area. He said, I thought he said just Maricopa, that city there. But he's now reaching down as far as the border to Mexico. He wants to cover all of the southern part of the state while I'm working on the northern part. We have opportunities, and we'll not reach everybody. We'll not even reach the majority of people with this. But we have opportunities that we can reach out to a lot of people. The Lord has given us these opportunities. Two or three weeks ago, I received a phone call from my son, and the church where he is, Bradley, most of y'all may know him. Bradley is a deacon there now, and any phone calls that come in go to the deacon's line. And he got this call, and he said, Morningstar is looking for somebody to come over and teach Bible classes. He gave that information to me. I contacted the person, went over and met them, and we set up now an opportunity where I can go in and teach Bible classes. And not only that, they have requested that I come and do a Sunday afternoon Bible study with them. The first class had 16. And I thought to myself, where am I going to get an opportunity to have this many people? They are excited and they want to study the Bible. Now, they have different backgrounds. And, you know, when you go in and you start teaching on some doctrine, there'll be some that'll agree, there'll be some that'll disagree, and there'll be others that have never heard of that. And so you have to present it in such a way that you want questions to come out of it, you want a discussion to come out of it, but you have to be careful how you present things. So this has opened up more doors. Have you ever heard the expression, just walk across the room? Walk across the room and talk to somebody about the Bible. That's where my Bible devotional message comes in. We just finished the book of Acts. We're getting ready to go back and go through Luke. We're taking a chapter a day, and I'm sending out some commentary, some devotional messages on each of these chapters. And currently, I've got contacts all over Arizona and parts other places in the United States and Guyana. Where is that? It's not Ghana. Ghana's in Africa. Guyana is South America, next to Venezuela. How did I get a contact there? The Lord. That's all I can say. When we started doing our Zoom Bible studies, Kelly, and Kelly is here today, introduced me to Meetup. Meetup is an app that you can get your message out and you can invite people to study with you. I put that out, and all of a sudden, this woman logs into it and says that she wants to be a part of the study. We started studying with her, and today she has grown so much, not only because of my teaching, but Kelly's teaching, working with her. Others have reached out to her too. She is a single mother with a 2 or 3 year old daughter. That's an opportunity that I never expected that I would have. But God has put us in a position to be able to reach out to her. We're so excited about that. When you think about personal evangelism, think about ways that you can reach out to people too. I like the way that when Philip went to meet the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts the 8th chapter, he came up to the chariot. And I have a list of things here that he went through in teaching the Ethiopian eunuch. He asked a question. There was an opportunity. It was accommodative. But he didn't just start with baptism. And a lot of us want to jump to that, and we get sidetracked, and we don't get the core of the message that we need to teach. He started where the eunuch was. He was reading the book of Isaiah. And he started. We know that he got to baptism because the eunuch later asked, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" But he went where the eunuch was to begin with. There were questions. He used scripture. It was an opportunity that he took advantage of. And he was persistent. When we are out talking to people, ask a question. When I was in high school, on into college, on into work, I was very shy. I remember sitting in some classes, and the teacher would be teaching something and then say, "Are there any questions?" And I had a lot of questions, but I was too shy to ask a question in that class. I could not meet people. I had difficulty talking to people. Somewhere along the line, that changed. I don't know how or why. I think part of it was when I started teaching myself. But here's the point I'm making. You may be shy too. You may have difficulty in talking to people. And that's okay. That means you might be an introvert. But that's okay. I'm an introvert in many ways. But today, I go up to people that I have never seen or met before. And I'll find a way to start a conversation. And if I can, I'll ask a question. Do you go to church? Yes or no? I don't care if they say yes or no. It's just a question that I've started with to get to know them. Do you believe in God? I've had people say no. But it introduces and starts a conversation with total strangers. Then I'll pull out my phone and I'll ask for their phone number. No, that comes later. But I will pull up the Bible message and I'll turn my phone around and I'll say, "This is what I send out. I send out a Bible devotional message every day, or just about every day. And you can read it and you can see what it is. What am I doing? I'm laying it out there for them to see. They can accept it or not. I do have to ask for their phone number. I do have to get a name. But what that does, it starts to build a relationship with people. And when you do that, and you send the messages out, I don't know in some cases if they even read them. That's up to them. But I've had many come back with questions, asking, "What do you think about this?" and so forth, and it leads to some discussions. One lady that I was getting her phone number and starting her on the message, I said, "Now, why do you trust me with your phone number?" And she said, "Because you're old." So take it for what it is. But I have right now about 100 contacts on that mailing list, that text list. Zoom studies. We have Zoom studies on Tuesday evenings. Kelly is part of that. Tupanella, the lady in Guyana, is part of it. We have other people from the Atlanta area that have joined in. People from the Phoenix area that have joined in on that. I was doing a Thursday morning Zoom study with Christians in India. Right now, that's on hold. I may get back to that. But on Mondays and Fridays, I'm studying with Tupanella, the book of Isaiah, and other opportunities that we have. The mass mailing we've talked about. Vimeo is a way of getting a video message out. And the next step that I'm looking at is producing some video lessons. Tupanella in Georgetown, Guyana, there is no sound congregation that we are aware of there. And we're looking for contacts and people that might know some information about that. But right now, we have no place to send her, to tell her to go. So we're forced to give her, and this is not bad, and I say forced to, but it's the only option we have right now, is to give her some links to congregations in the States that are Zooming their worship service. And she started doing that. Well, we have talked to her, and we believe that she is a Christian. I don't know all the details that she was growing up. Her father left her, and there was just a lot of issues in her life when she was young. But Karen and I were FaceTiming her one day, and we asked her, "Are you a Christian? How did you become a Christian?" We didn't prompt her. We didn't give her any leads, and she went straight to the Bible. And she said, "I was baptized for the forgiveness of sins." I can only take that at face value. I believe her, and I have to move forward with how do we deal and help her in her situation. So we have that, but the Vimeo lessons, she recently said, "Well, I need something midweek study. I want a Wednesday night study." Well, we're at worship on Wednesday night, and we have no Zoom access on. And I don't know of many congregations that Zoom their Wednesday night service. So this is the idea of coming up with these recorded lessons that I can put up on my website or send to her that she can use to study. Like I said, if anybody knows of a contact or way we can reach out to find other resources for her, please let us know. What is the goal that I have? Right now, it is to reach as many people as I can with the gospel. I skipped over that passage in Matthew 28. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them." I don't know how many I will baptize. It may not be any. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, "I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase." My job is to reach out with the gospel and give them what they need to understand the truth. And then it's up to them whether they accept it or reject it. And each one of us here have contacts that nobody else has. At your work, in your family, next door neighbor, whatever. You have somebody that you can reach out to with the gospel. Maybe you've tried and been rejected. Don't give up. Come back later and see if you can reintroduce the topic. But we've got to spread the gospel. Now, yes, it's a society and world today that has gone immoral in many ways. But what about Paul? Who would have thought that Paul would have responded? Many others that we can read about in the Bible. And people that you may know that were very worldly but have changed their life. What can you do to help reach others? That's all you can do. God is the one that's going to give the increase, but it's our job to take the message to as many people as we can. So that's what I am trying to do. And then start a work in Flagstaff and also start a work in Phoenix. Now, I can't be in Maricopa and Flagstaff and Phoenix all at the same time. But here's the point. These areas are where the gospel needs to reach, that nobody else is reaching out to these people. I talked to Eric Borlaug, who was at Embry Hills up until a couple of months ago. He's moved to Bowling Green, Kentucky now. And he's gone up there to work with young men that want to be preachers. He and I met in Phoenix last year. And he was interested in moving to Phoenix and working in Flagstaff. But that's off the table now. But maybe something better is on the table. He texted me the other day and he said, some of these men that I'm working with may be interested in coming to Arizona. And that would be great. I need help. I need families and men that will get out and do what they can to preach, to teach. Because there are many, many opportunities. I don't know if you can see all of these names here, but these are just people that I have talked to, that I've met in different places. Maddie and Riley in Publix here in Atlanta. Austin, when the building at Lilburn, the church was there, had a sign out front advertising the devotional message. Austin joined and has been with us since then. Herbert is the one in Flagstaff. Jody, a neighbor where we lived. Roxanne, Verizon. Lori, an owner of a store in Sedona. Hillary, Costco. Jasmine and Brandon, husband and wife, Chick-fil-A in Flagstaff. Sina, met her at Verizon. Genevieve, Joanne's, Carrie, my car insurance agent. Elena, in Globe. And Kelly, coming down, talked to her at a Shell gas station in southern Alabama. I just talked to them. But I want to tell you a little bit about Elena. I preached one Sunday in Globe. It's up in the mountains on the east side of Arizona. And afterwards, some of the members and I went to eat. We ate at a Mexican restaurant. And she was our waitress. I thought, well, how can I talk to her and introduce her to the Bible message? I didn't find an opening, and I left, headed back to Phoenix, and I got about a mile down the road, and I said, I've got to go back. I turned around and went back to that restaurant. When I walked in, she was a little surprised to see me, and I told her why I'd come back. She reached down, got a piece of paper, pencil, wrote her name and phone number on it, and gave it to me and said, yes, I would love to get your message. It wasn't but a day or two later that she texted me and she said, when you came back, it was an answer to my prayers. After you left, she said, I went into the bathroom and started crying. I was so happy that you had come along with these Bible messages and an opportunity to study. If I hadn't have gone back, wouldn't have that opportunity. Now, I could have gone back and she could have said, no, I'm not interested. And that would have been okay from the standpoint of trying. But there's hope now that she will one day respond to the gospel. The point is, we've got to try. What is personal evangelism? That word personal is not necessarily in the Bible. Evangelist is a term that is in the Bible. And when you say that, I'll tell people I'm a preacher or I'm an evangelist, and they'll say, are you a pastor? And that's the way the world uses it. I said, no, I'm not a pastor. I'm simply an evangelist that spreads the word and talks to people and studies wherever I can with people. Spread the word, the seed. The parable of the sower is what we need to be doing. Spreading the seed wherever we go. If it falls on rocky ground. You know, there are places on rocky ground where I see flowers coming up through the cracks. We don't know. But find the good soil and spread the word along with the thorny soil and the rocky soil. You're going to find people that are interested. My message to you is take advantage of every opportunity that you have to talk to people about God's Word. You say, I'm busy. Everybody's busy. Everybody has obligations. But when you're carrying out those obligations, find time to at least... Now, if you want me to, I'll send you the Bible message and you can forward it to anybody else. And that's little work on your behalf, but you're putting the word out to others that I can't reach. So, do what you can where you can. That's all that God requires of us. But He does require that. To do what you can, where you can. We sing a song, Far and Near. I don't know if Chuck's got that one up or not, but far and near the fields are teeming. And then sowing the seed. There's so many songs that we sing. Do we believe them? Do we sing them as just words? Or is it something that we try to do ourselves? The footsteps of Jesus. Do we follow the footsteps of Jesus into the temple? Into the people that are suffering? Go where you can and pray that God will open doors for you. This morning, we've come together to worship, to study God's Word, and in a few moments to remember our Savior in the Lord's Supper. He died that we might live. Can we take advantage of His love for us that we can spread to others and reach out to everybody that we can? Chuck, what is that song that we're going to sing? 616. And is what is the name of that song? Into our hands, the gospel is given. And I have the words of that song right here. Millions are groping without the gospel. Quickly they'll reach eternity's night. Shall we sit idly as they rush onward? Haste, let us hold up Christ, the true light. When you see somebody out there, look at that person as a soul, as an individual just like you. Do you love them enough that you don't want them to suffer eternity in hell? That you're going to try to reach out to them? Don't be afraid. Do what you can. We're going to, do we sing the invitation now? Okay. We're going to stand and we're going to sing that song. If there's anybody here this morning that is subject in any way to the gospel and the needs of, in your life, that you need to change, that you need to make right, or that you need to come to the Lord in full obedience, being baptized for the remission of your sins, won't you come as we stand and sing?